American State Trials, 1918, Volume X. Leo Frank. Document page 668. Here is the translated text as follows. 636. X. American State Trials. She thought she ought to have a sum of money or securities, bonds, that would yield her at least $3,000 a year. She explained she had an engagement to go that afternoon to a card party with a lady who had been a very dear friend of hers, and that she would come back to the office afterward. That broke off the conversation. She claimed Cook came upon her and Mr. Candler in a compromising position. I asked her what it meant, if Cook had merely interrupted them in the office when they were sitting talking, and she said they were not sitting talking, but that after she got into the room, Mr. Candler began to fondle her, and that had gone along until she had removed a pair of silk bloomers that she had on, and that she was lying on the couch in the office, that they were having intercourse. She said she went to the door and turned the knob, and just as she turned the knob, Cook pushed in. She didn't give any explanation why she opened the door and let Cook in. The next meeting was that evening when she came back from the card party. She said she had been thinking the matter over and that it was all right. She would do what Cook had demanded and leave the city provided she was furnished with securities or bonds that would yield her the sum of $3,000 per year. We asked her then if she simply wanted an annuity at the rate of $250 a month, and she said, no, that for several reasons she didn't want that. If she left Atlanta, she wanted to leave no mail address. She wanted money or bonds, and that if she got an annuity, Mr. Candler might die in 8 or 12 months, and the annuity would stop, and she knew Mr. Candler, with his philanthropic spirit and nature, would not want her to leave her husband, and after doing so, want her to go to work again or live in a hut. That she was 38 years old and probably would not be able to get herself provided with another home, and that she would insist upon the principle of that sum being paid to her in cash or bonds. She said she had been noticing Mr. Candler for years very closely, and that she had admired him for the great things he had done. That she had cut out of the papers clippings about him, and she appreciated how much he meant to the city of Atlanta, and to the state of Georgia and the South. And that if anything happened and Mr. Cook should tell Mr. Hirsch and make this public, it would hurt Mr. Candler very greatly. Not only socially and politically, but in a business way. That Mr. Candler had been very prominently connected with the church and in every way, and for that reason, Mr. Candler should deal with her very liberally in this matter. I called Mr. Cook Saturday and told him I would like to see him again. He first said he would not see me, but finally agreed I should come by Thrower's office for him when I got back into the city after 2 o'clock. We walked down Forsyth Street to a point opposite the fire department where we sat down upon a stone and talked. I told Mr. Cook he was doing wrong and that I wanted to see if there was not some way to get him to drop the matter and not insist upon Mr. Candler sending Mrs. Hirsch out of the city. Mr. Cook said he was very much worried.